you would show us what you want us to see. Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would open our eyes. And Lord, for those that may be blinded by just things that go on around this world, that all our eyes would be open, unveiled, that we would see the truth, and the truth would indeed set us free. Lord, we pray now for your blessing on this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sin equals death. Jesus equals life. Recent news that all of us have probably been seeing is we've seen the revealing of sins. Many people, in fact, mostly men in this particular instance, but we see the revealing of many sins. No exemptions. We're all subject to sin. And I want us to right away go to Romans chapter 3, 17:11 in your pew Bibles. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 22, or the latter part of verse 22, actually. I want you to see what Paul, through the Spirit, through what God is telling him, he's writing these things. And so in Romans chapter 3, the latter part of verse 22, it says, "There is no difference. There is no difference. All people, there's no difference." Verse 23, he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All have sinned and fall short. There is no difference. You go up to verse 9 in chapter 3, and you find out what he's talking about. "What shall we conclude then? Are we any better?" Speaking about the Jews. "Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin." So there's no difference. The Jews, you know, may have been given the law and have been God's special people, but there's no difference between them. We're all alike under the power of sin. And I want you to continue in this verse 10. It says, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God." And you look at the rest of it, it says, "All have turned away, all together have become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." So there's no one righteous, no one who is doing the will of God. All of us fall short of the glory of God. No one qualifies. So it's no wonder that the world is in the condition it is, and that these individuals have fallen from grace. You know, it's interesting to me when I see some of these things, because the world promotes this distance from God. They promote, we don't want God telling us what to do. They resist His moralities. They resist and reject His prayer out of the schools and the Scriptures as their balance and their guide. And yet, when someone goes across the line of morality, that they choose to crucify them. It's just interesting to me, because there, you know, we could use Hollywood as an example. You know, Hollywood, it's like the norm doing these things. You know, there's things going on in Hollywood, and I know, I lived in California for quite a while, and I know all about Hollywood and all about the inner city of Los Angeles and all those areas in thereabouts. And I know that there was stuff going on that would curl your hair if you had any. But all of a sudden, the world gets religious. They get righteous. They get moral. And they want to crucify certain individuals. And what is the reason for that? Well, it doesn't really matter, because we're all sinners. And we all have fallen short of the glory of God. I want you to look at verse 19, the latter part of verse 19 in chapter 3 here. It says, verse 19. every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. The whole world is accountable to God. We're not accountable to each other. You know, although Kathy calls me into account sometimes. And I do the same for her. You know, we all are to work together and try to build with each other a certain amount of responsibility. And so we call into each other, you know, hey, I don't think maybe that's something you should be a part of. And I have people many times ask me, well, you know, I got this proposition, or I got this job, or I got that going on, or you know, hey, there's an opportunity, and what do you think about it? And I'll give them the scriptural side of it. Because when all the dust is cleared, when the world is all done with whatever it's doing, we're all going to stand before God. The whole world will be held accountable to God. While these people are being judged by the press, politicians, and religious leaders, none of us, when we stand before God, will be standing there in our own righteousness unless you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior. Verse 20, I want you to look at verse 20. It says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. You see, the scriptures were given to us to call us into account, to evaluate our lives, to realize, I'm not doing that quite the way I should be doing that. I didn't say that the way I should have said that. You know, no one, we all don't want to do that. You know, when somebody's doing something wrong, none of us want to go up to them and say, you know, you're doing something wrong, because what are they going to say? Stop judging me, man. Well, isn't that the truth? They say, don't judge me, and then they'll point at you, or me, whatever, if you're talking, they're going to point at you and they're going to say, you do the same things. You're a sinner too. Don't judge me. But according to the scriptures, it says that no one will be declared righteous by our own works, by our own righteousness, by observing the law, by observing the morality. And that's what the world wants to do. They want to follow their rules and somehow come out on top. But the Bible tells us a different story. The law shows us our failure. So what in the world are we supposed to do about it? Now just keep your hand there in Romans 3 and go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, and that is 1856 in the Pew Bibles, 1856. 1 John chapter 1, and start in verse 8. You hear a lot of people say, you know, hey, I'm doing good. I'm righteous. I'm good. But in verse 8 it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in us. So the first step is confession. We need to confess what we are. You know, it was interesting years ago. Remember Bill Clinton, and we've heard about him a lot lately. But he was in office, and he did some things he shouldn't have done. And so what did he do? Denied. Deny, deny, deny. Until they come up with the absolute proof. And then, okay, I did it. But deny, deny, deny. You see that all throughout our world now. All these individuals, you know, the accusations come. And certainly some of the accusations probably are false. But the first thing they go to, even when the pictures are out, deny, deny. Well, I didn't really but I really wasn't. And you know, it was really kind of this way, and it justifying their actions, but deny it. The scripture tells us, don't deny it, confess it. You have sinned. If you say you don't have sin, you're lying. Not only to yourself, but to God. You have sinned, and you're calling God a liar because He said you sinned. And you have sinned. And so, don't try to get out of it, because we're born with it. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, as in Adam, all die. We're all part of Adam's race, the humankind, mankind. So we all have a sin nature. You're born with it. It's nothing you can do about it. It's in your DNA, if you want to be so precise about it. It's in your DNA. You can't strip out your DNA and say, I don't want it. The only thing you can do is get forgiveness. And so confession comes. You need to confess. It's like someone with an addiction, drugs, alcohol, or looking at things on the internet or magazines that you know are wrong, or and you're doing the wrong thing. The first step always is confession. Because if you don't confess the problem, you can't straighten it out. So the people who have fallen, the accusations that have been made public, they have two choices. Confess or deny. When they deny, it doesn't take away the penalty. In fact, back in Romans 3 again, that verse 20, it says, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Through the law, we become conscious of sin. We're not going to be justified by the law. We won't be justified by denying and saying, well, it'll just go away eventually. You know, because that's the way some of us feel. You know, if you don't address the problem, eventually it goes away. But it doesn't go away. Because according to the scriptures, it's still there. We have not taken care of the actual problem. And then you get down to verse 23, where it says, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. We've fallen short. Denying it doesn't erase it, doesn't get rid of it, doesn't make it better. But when you confess, it's the beginning of forgiveness. Look at verse 24, right after it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Look at what it says. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice because in the forbearance He left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Now that gets into a whole different line. But what I want you to see is that righteousness comes from God through Jesus. Now, these individuals, and I'm sure you've experienced it too, when you do something that's wrong, sometimes you still have to pay the consequences. You know, if you do something that breaks the law, if you get into an addiction or you have something that you did that breaks the law, you may have to put some time in jail or do something, community service, whatever it might be. The consequences are still there. However, why don't you turn to Romans chapter 8, just a few pages down. Romans chapter 8, and look at the first few verses of chapter 8. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. You see, the law of sin and death is the law. You won't be justified by it. You can live a stellar life. You can do everything right. You can follow the law as close to the letter as possible, but you will not be justified by the law. It just points out your sin. You are still born a sinner. you still have that sin nature. You will not escape condemnation unless you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you have forgiveness from that sin. Now, Ephesians 1:7 up on the screen. There we go. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And in Hebrews 8:12, next one. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. You see, God forgives those sins and it's done. When you stand before Him and that day, He's going to look at you and He's not going to see your righteousness. He sees Jesus Christ's righteousness. That's why the blood of Christ cleanses us. Because Jesus stands before us. Jesus' sacrifice stands before us. And God looks at us, God the Father, He looks at us and He says, forgiven. Perfect. We're going, perfect? I didn't know. I was perfect. He said, no, not you. Him. He's perfect. And He gave you His righteousness. That's what Jesus does for us. And then God says, what sins? And say, well, what about that and this and the other thing? And God goes, I don't know what you're talking about. Because you're forgiven. It's done. It's over. Do you ever have somebody say, I forgive you, and then bring it up a little later? You know, well, remember when you did? You said, I thought you forgave me for that. Well, at the moment I did. God forgives, boom, forever. So, today is your choice. If you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, you have a choice set before you. Deny, deny, deny. And Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sins will find you out. You can't get away forever. Oh, there's plenty of people in Hollywood who are getting away with it. Just the ones that, you know, they decided to throw up as a sacrifice, throw under the bus, whatever you want to call it. They threw them out there to the wolves. They want them to take the heat. But they're doing it. Well, they can deny, deny, deny. But when they stand before God, they will be brought into account. And so will you if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior. You will be called into account. Or, the second choice is confess. Believe in Jesus as your Savior and you will be forgiven and you will gain peace. I'd like us to just take a moment and have a word of prayer before we close. If you have you haven't given your life to the Lord yet. You've been struggling or fighting it or denying it. Time not to deny it anymore. Time to confess it. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come before You to agree with You. We are sinners. We all fall short of the standard that You've set before us. That we cannot make it on our own. That no matter how good of a life we live, no matter how much we've given to the church, no matter how many times we've taught Sunday school or done something for the church, it is not good enough. Only believing in Jesus gains forgiveness from our sin. He paid the price, not us. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that has not received You as their Savior, has not prayed that prayer, Lord, that they would pray right now, Jesus, I need You in my life. I confess I'm a sinner. That I have not lived my life righteously. That I fall short of Your glory. I need You to forgive me. Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Bring me into Your kingdom. I pray. Lord, thank You so much for the time we can spend together with You. Lord, I pray that you would make this a new day for some, and for some of us others who believe in you for a long time, Lord, that we realize how great it is to be saved, to be forgiven, to have you in our lives. Lord, we pray now for your blessing as we close in this with this last song. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's all stand. We have